I wasn't recording. So once again, as a we're doing the litmus test for eternal life. So all the glory to God. We thank him for this. But once again, if we claim to know him, but we don't live that way, then we are not walking in the truth. It's our identification. It's for us to know other Christians as well. So we always have to keep that when we're walking. It's a focus. It's an alertness that we have to have. There's warning concerning different types of sin. And that's why I said, if you see your brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. So there is a pattern of understanding sin is still going to exist, but what a Christian doesn't do is live in sin. I won't identify with sin. People won't recognize me because of sin. But you have a lot that still fall into that. And then we allow man to give us the, well, I'm only human and nobody can do that and it's impossible. Not realizing, no, the Bible said it is possible. The whole sermon that we're doing is telling us that. Then we dove into love. And once again, one of the most distorted, I guess, definitions out there that man has really messed up is love. We've messed it up when it comes to relationships. We've messed it up when it comes to our family. And God himself is love. So we have access to the strict instructions on how to love. And we see that hating your brother is walking in darkness. Okay, you only have two choices. Either you love them or you hate them. Because man wants to kind of fulfill his own self, he wanted a middle thing, which you won't find in the Bible. It's an either or. So either you love them, and love isn't you just going, oh, no, I love them. Because if I say I love you and I respond to you different than what the word says, I do not. Okay? So loving your brother with action, not me just saying it. You have a lot of groups out here that are actual hate groups because their response to people was not based on God. You have any affiliation, any acceptance, any action towards that, you're not a Christian. And or yes, you are doomed. I don't care what excuse you have. If it goes against God, it's going against you because you're not within him. There's no way around that. You can't find it in his word. And that's why he said, let us not love with word and tongue, but with action and in truth. So then we really get a strong understanding of love. As 1 Corinthians 13 breaks down and gives us the ingredients and the things that make up love, this shows us the foundation of love, that God is love. And if I don't love my brothers, I don't love God. You know what I mean? It's certain prerequisites that have to happen in order for me to truly do what I say I'm doing. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, we saw God lives in him. And remember, the acknowledgement, we're going to talk about that some more today, is in agreement with. It doesn't just mean I say Jesus is the Son of God. My life will show that. Do you understand that? Like, you have groups like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses that separate him. You know what I mean? They call him another God or just another creation, or they distort who he is. So I can't say he's the Son of God and say, well, you know, that's just some saying if I'm not in agreement with it. And the Bible makes us in agreement and we'll say it, we'll live that way. We understand how that works. But we see that there's no fear in love. And that's talking about the timid fear. That means timid fear won't hinder me. And timid fear is when I allow worldly things to get in front of God. Now, we have a lot of timid fear down here. People allow their job, their relationships, their feelings, their comfort to get in the way of them obeying God. And we see a lot more of that than the fear of God. And really need to check into that. But perfect love drives out that fear because I'm just totally focused on God, who is love. Then we saw about obeying his commands, which I think groups who misteach grace make you feel as though, hey, since I am following, you know, since I'm a Christian and Jesus died for me, obeying is an option. But if I don't obey, I'm fine because of grace. I've heard ministers say the things to the effect of they would say, Jesus already did it for us, so we don't have to do anything. I mean, they would get up there on stage and tell you that. But what is the rest of the stuff for? Now, if you read Sound Doctrine, you would see that can't work. But people love that because it makes me, once again, feel like I'm a Christian. Then I make up my Christianity instead of following reverently what he says. And he says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. So that's for us. Do I know him? Do I have a relationship with him? It'll be, well, everything I'm doing is in his word. Now, when I have these religious actions and things that I do based on tradition and organizations I go to, and because somebody told me it was, I have a problem. Because one, if I'm not reading his word, that's going to put me in a bad position, because how do I know him, and how can I obey him if I'm not receiving what he says? So it comes down to whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And as Jesus said, I do exactly what my Father tells me. We see in obeying him pleases him. And I think you know in Galatians 6 where it says, those who live to please the Spirit will have eternal life. You understand that. But if I'm not, and the way I know to please him is he says do this, and I do it. God is not impressed with humans doing their own thing, and isn't that great? We make that stuff up, and that's nice. And I know we mean well, but please don't let meaning well get in the way of reverence. There's a big difference. Relationship with Christ, we saw that we have to acknowledge Christ is God. We have to believe in who Jesus is and the overcoming of the world. It says everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And belief, once again, is going to be an action. You're going to see me live it. It's going to show in all that I do. And it said, this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Everyone born of God overcomes the world, period. It's not tries to. No, no, no. If you're truly born of God, you're going to overcome the world, right? If you're truly born of God. And that's what we have to keep in mind. We have access to it. If it fails, that's our choice. It's not something that I really tried and I tried my best, but I'm still going to hell. It doesn't work that way. We have all we need. So if we fail, it's a choice, believe it or not. Believing in Christ is the only way to life. That's it. Okay. And our hope has to be in him. There is only one hope, as the Bible says. And it says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I love how they put that in many cases, just as he, because it doesn't mean I go out and jump to some river and say, okay, now I'm purified. It's not that I take some sort of weird bath and say I'm purified. No, the Bible tells us how to be purified. Now, I think y'all remember it, if I obey his word. Purification is obeying his word. Believe it or not, we've seen that in this study. All right, so now, once again, thank you for reminding me. In finishing up, now we have to see where we are in relations to the world. And this is a big mess up, because you've heard me talk about it before, and like especially in these past years, I really have to engage our political affiliations, our traditional affiliations, our attachments, because we're very loyal to these things, not realizing they fit something that actually disqualifies us in our Christian walk. Think about that. Right. But you have churches that make you think, if I have this type of honor and closeness to something, then it makes me more a Christian. And it shows we're not reading this word, because it's not like it's unclear. It's just something we like. And what am I talking about? So he tells us not to love the world. This is why he's not unconditional love. Agape is not unconditional love. It's God conditional love, because there is something he's telling us not to love. It's a warning, and it shows what happens if we do it. Now let's break it down. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world, and watch this, or anything in the world. So some people will love organizations, but if the organization doesn't come from God, then it comes from the world. Only two choices. You see this. So if I got something that was built in a foundation and the purpose wasn't built on God, and I am loving it, I sin, but I also identify who I really am. I really show you who I really am. That's why he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, which saying you are not a Christian. So when I'm totally loyal to these organizations, to my country, to my neighborhood, to my anything that is structured of the world, even if my church is not foundational and based on for God, then it's just another worldly organization. And if I have a strong partnership love with them, once again, it's re-identifying. Now, we have to think about that, because a lot of us love to be loyal to certain things that are part of the anything in the world. And I don't think it fears us enough, because we're more loyal to it in our actions. Watch how people are. There's a lot of, and I told you, it's both on the liberal and the conservative. And they're in both evil. And I know we like to pick and choose. If somebody ever attacks us, whether we're liberal or conservative, there's other sides which are not in line with the Bible, right? If I truly had reverence, I'd look at everything and go, I can't. There's no way I could partner with either of these. There's things that are literally against God on how I deal with people, how I deal with marriage, how I deal with money, how I deal with the world, how I deal with the poor. All of this stuff is out there, how I deal with sin. But they're accepted. People still get in it, and then they're like, oh, look at me, I'm a Christian. And you're not. He gives us the warning, and this is why. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? For everything in the world adds up to these three things. Okay? He's saying everything in the world. There is no exceptions. He doesn't go to this part of the world. It's acceptable because, no, either you're godly or you're worldly. And what are the three things? Cravings of sinful man. In other words, what I want. The world caters to my desire. Does that mean I get everything I want? No, but I have access, right? It can make me strive for. That's why many people will get in a job and they're doing really well and things are going and they have all this stuff. But if I'm living for what I want, I hope you enjoy it because I'm supposed to do everything to glorify God. Same thing if I get into a relationship and I go and get married. I don't care how happy each of us are because are we doing it to please one another or are we doing it to please God? I have children. The world might love the way I raise my children, but if it's not raising them in order to make them godly, and you see where I'm going with this, the whole thing has to be for God, but the world offers my pleasing. It makes me happy. Right? And then we start doing things off of what we feel, and then we say, God, I'm happy, so that makes it good. The second thing it does is the lust of the eyes, okay? Which is not only what I see, but is fully based on my viewpoint. The world caters to. That's why we can have these different groups out here that have totally opposite viewpoints and still call themselves Christian, even though the Bible says there is no division. So what we try to do is just call the other side demonic. The other side must be demonic. Instead of biblically showing completely, soundly how the other side is demonic, but also proving if you're not in God, how is your side completely God? Right? There is no added stuff and everybody, nobody can be perfect and you know how we know. If you're doing stuff that are of the devil, it's of the devil. You have contaminated the whole holy walk. He said, be ye holy because I am holy. And then the last part is the boasting of what he has and does. It sounds like I know every time we get on here and we talk about it, it sounds like Pastor Keith is trying to make me feel bad about myself. In a way, yes, because the thing that gets in the way of us is that last part, the boasting of what he has and does. We want to know, look at what I did, make a statue of me, look how hard I worked, look at all this stuff. You get people that have special talents, and I think I said this in the sermon, one of the most dangerous things is they want credit for it. They really want you to look at them in awe of how wonderful they are, not realizing, no, God gave it to you. You might have put some work in, absolutely, but you could not have come close to doing anything if God didn't give it to you. Period. You can get the same people that work much harder than you, and if they don't have that talent, they'll never achieve or get close to what you've done. That's why all the glory to God. That's why the Bible says all the boasting is in God. Because you meet people, even in the body, who brag about what they did. Look what I did. Did you see what I wrote? Did you see what I said? Yes, this or that. That's why I get scared to even call it Pastor Keith's Ministries because I don't want it to come from me. I just want to be that instrument preaching the word of God. That's it. You understand that we want status and all this other stuff. The world caters to that. The world will puff you up. But we're going to bring God down when we do that. And we got to be very careful of that. So it hits those three things, the cravings, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. And we go for that. And he makes very clear those three things comes not from the Father, but from the world. Okay? So if you sit down on your purpose and you understand, okay, how am I doing this? Look at your family. Look at the decisions you make. If you just ask a simple question, why? Person who's doing it for God, well, the word says, and I want to. You'll hear them put out scripture. You won't hear, well, it makes me happy because I wanted to. It made me feel good. All those things are niceties, but in glorifying God, there's going to be a lot of times you're not going to like it. Why? Because it's hitting the thing that will damage you, the flesh. What is Satan's main weapon against you is you. We like to blame it on other things, but no, it's just you. And it's just me against me. Do you understand that? So if it hurts and I'm glorifying him, amen. If it feels good and I'm glorifying, amen. But my goal is never me. My goal is never you. My goal is not anything else down here but to glorify God. And in many cases, we get distracted even on things we get credit for. Because there's a lot of people who worldly-wise are doing some great things, but God is not part of their agenda. They're just too busy for God. And they think God's going to get them up in heaven and go, you really worked hard. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And hey, how's it going to work? Why does he give us that whole parable where he ends it, one was wicked and lazy, and the other one was, and you saw the status for it. It's what the master wants. Not Keith, come down here and do the best of the world, looks you in awe. No, glorify me. But we don't do that. Or we make up what that means, and then we confuse everybody. Okay? So he says, doesn't come from him. And then he makes clear what's going to happen in verse 17. The world and its desires pass away. I don't care what legacy you have. It will no longer be remembered at a certain time. Is gone. The only thing that matters is my knowledge or relationship with Christ. That's it. He says, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Right? Don't redefine the will of God either. The Bible shows that. It's just doing what he says, following his pattern, being used by him in every case. Also in relation to the world, gaining protection and understanding by being separate from the world and into him. This is hard today. Like I said, people, you know, there'll be a lot of people talking about this end of the world and all this other stuff, but watch people. Many people will react the way the world does. I told you that show used to come on called Preppers, and what was amazing, first of all, they had the money, so they go out and buy all this stuff. They buy a whole bunch of guns. They do all these things out, and when the world happens this way and the apocalypse happens that way, and a lot of people are serious about it, people who call themselves Christians. Right? Because I've heard people say, so what will we do if this happens? Because we're watching television shows. I'm not saying stuff won't happen, but my protection is in God. What am I studying? What his word says in order to apply it. If you're just somebody who's studying and you still don't get it, there must be a problem. Because if you're just reading it to read it, that's one thing. If I'm reading it to get instruction, then you're setting you're going in the right path. Like I said, food runs out. Do I plant a garden? Do I steal my neighbor's food? Do I what? He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will be given to you. Isn't that what he says? People aren't striving to do that because we're already in a world that we think we make our own money to get our own food. Gives us protection. But watch what he says here in 1 John 5:19-20. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's one of the two or three verses that lets us know the world is run by Satan. God does not get in the way of that. So when you see bad things happening, you know, God creates the boundaries and he gives them the limited authority that he does have, but he offers us the protection. Okay, but people who are in the world are now guided by Satan. That's the only other choice. And this is why it's disturbing when you hear a Christian go after a worldly person and talk to them as if they're a Christian. You know, it's like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And we try to push godliness on evil people. It's not, nowhere does he say do that, but we do that. And we see that stuff happening today where we're trying to force godly laws on ungodly people, which is actually pushing them further away from God, because once again, we're doing it our way. And what should happen is understanding, okay, they're of the devil. God, what are the steps that I take to minister them to you? Ah, now we get step by steps. Now we get understanding. We take us out the equation. That's not what's happening. Once again, you got people that think they're doing right, and they're actually causing more problems. That's where they tie that millstone around their neck. And there's more, once again, because they mean well, but they're not doing what the Bible says. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Do you see that? Our understanding, where clarity comes from, and I've told you, I'm not a scholar. I'm not some brilliant man. I even have some mental limitations, and I understand that, and I accept it. it makes me totally lean on him in the way that he says, and then there is clarity, but my clarity is in him. What we've allowed is we brought these worldly intelligent people and they wrote a whole bunch of books and gave us other things. And what do? We start following them. I was told that this was done this time, so we don't have to do that. Where does it say that in the Bible? You understand? That's a simple question. Where do we say that? So we're not getting our understanding from Christ. We're getting our understanding of Christ from some man. In other words, we're leaning upon our own understanding, which he told us not to do. He has given us understanding. Take that understanding, trust in that understanding, and as you grow in trusting in him, clarity. You understand? He has given us understanding, watch this, so that we may know him who is true. His word truly shows us God. If not, you'll hear people say crazy things like, I can't believe God allowed that to happen. Or they'll defend, my God wouldn't do, even though you're seeing in the Bible he did. You understand that? We'll start making up God. We'll start restructuring God where we don't know him. We're describing somebody and they're like, I don't know who that is because it's not God. And we are in him who is true, even in his son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. If you're not in God, you're doomed. But he gives us the way. He gives us the description. He gives us the clarity of when we're in there and when we're not. So in relation to the world, watch that you don't get attached. When you see a church start combining with the world, it's no longer a church. I'm sorry. Remember, the church is the people. Those are just buildings. And we have to be careful because I think sometimes we've allowed these organizations because they slap church on them. But do you want a place that doesn't represent God to be called that? Because now we're all dumped in with these political and worldly organizations that call themselves churches. Do you want to defend and support them? When we truly show God, right? And that's what our organization does. And then other brothers and sisters around the world see that. We can combine with those. And then whatever happens, happens. And we know, God, we're being protected by you. A lot of these places are worshiping God in their own way. And then when attacks and things like that happen, it's on them. They can't just go, oh, we're being persecuted because the Bible said so. It has to be the ones who follow Christ. So they got to be very careful of that. Now, receiving and keeping the correct word of God is another necessary thing for me to have eternal life. So first of all, making sure you're ministered to by the right spirit. Okay? I don't know how often we do this, but 1 John 4:1-3 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. I told you, both my grandmother and my mother-in-law used to give me the blues for questioning everything. They gave me the hardest time. He's a pastor. You can't question everything he says. I'm like, I heard him preach. I just want to know where it's at in the Bible. Both my grandmother would say that. Pastor, they wanted me to hold them up high. So if they said something, follow them. And that's called foolish. We can't do that. And a lot of people get caught up in organizations and they put people on high and then they follow them. God's not going to go, you meant well, and you were just confused. He's going to go, where did I tell you to do that? And you're going to give the, I thought, I felt, I didn't know. Because you're allowing your emotion. You're allowing your intelligence, your culture to get in the way instead of totally trusting in him. So when he tells me don't believe every spirit, I have to do what? Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Then he tells me the exact test. Pay attention. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He made that very clear. He didn't stop them. That's our protection of them. A lot of ministers that are false teachers. He says, this is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges, the Greek word for that means in agreement with. Okay, now what is different than why didn't he just say every spirit that says? Because a lot of stuff we claim or say doesn't mean we're in agreement with it. You know what I mean? Demons can say stuff, but in agreement with means you're living it. What do we have to be in agreement with? Spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So in other words, the whole New Testament is of the new covenant, which was brought in by Christ. I'm going to be in complete line with the New Testament. Did y'all catch that? Okay, not some emotional made up something, because the whole New Testament is him coming in the flesh and doing away with what was done in the old and reestablishing this thing of grace that we have. Okay, and so every time they preach it, that's why I can say, show me that in the Bible. And you got to be careful because you have a lot of ministers, because sometimes it's easier to understand, that'll just preach out the Old Testament, not realizing they're doing the same thing. Now, in no way am I saying the Old Testament is wrong, no, but they'll still be preaching things that are of the Mosaic law and not of Christ's law. And that's where the confusion comes in. That's where the confusion comes in. You're the whole traditional wife. You don't see that in the New Testament. And it's not even in the Old Testament in the way that they're putting it. They just seen how that was overdone and how they made that up, and people want to force that on. God, the Bible says we're partners. It just says I'm the head of my wife, which means I'm responsible for it. But do you understand it? If I don't know the Bible, I'll follow what some man says. And this is where it gets confusing. You understand that? So if they acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, they're totally in line with the New Testament. And then it says, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Immediately, that's how you know. No, I'm not. Where did they get this from? Where did that come from? If it didn't come from them, and that's their foundation, either you talk to them about it or you move on. And most don't, because we get comfortable amongst people that are human comfort. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. And here's the thing about this. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, that's very important because the spirit of the Antichrist will be in the man of sin. Now, if I keep following the Antichrist and I think I'm following God, you will be deceived by the man of sin, because you're following some concept somebody called Christianity. The man of sin's going to come around. He'll make some rules, and you'll go, but wait a minute, he's a great man. You see where I'm going with this? Okay? You will be misled, but you won't be a victim. He gives us these warnings of, if it's not in line with God's word, don't follow them. They're from the Antichrist. But you get people that are teaching stuff that are outside the Bible, and you're accepting it. You understand that? That's where the fear and the hesitation should go, okay, wait a minute, where did I get this from? Right? This isn't a feel-good session. This is not something that we all can just choose and enjoy ourselves. No, this is our protection when he gives us this type of information. Also, we will listen to and accept the things of God if you're Christian. Okay? We will listen to and accept the things of God. 1 John 4, 4 through 6 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. You see, that's one of those verses. We love saying that. But we just love saying that when we think the world's trying to attack us. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And it's true. But what he's saying is the world doesn't have an effect. Now, when a person doesn't know this, then we're praying to God to help us in the world. But we're usually looking for, once again, a desired outcome, not a God's will, right? Only Christians fully understand what it means to count a pure joy when you go through trials. You say, this is a spiritual benefit. Thank you so much. Humans, I want to feel better. So God, give me a breakthrough. Get me out of this. Make me feel. Do this. And it doesn't work that way, because it's not always in his will, right? And you'll understand that and say, not my will, but your will be done. So he says, who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. That means I'm leaning upon, trusting in God in me, the Holy Spirit. They are from the world. Watch this. Therefore, speak from the viewpoint of the world. Pay attention how they do that. This is when you see a complete approval from worldly sense. That's a problem. Understand that, okay? Because the world wants that viewpoint, and the world listens to them. The world will allow them. It says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. This is one of the verses that really hit me as a young minister, because I was caught up in many cases where I was like, okay, people are not listening. Maybe I need to change this. Maybe I need to change that. But this was the thing that I had to listen to. Keith, are you preaching God? Yeah. If they're from God, they'll listen. They leave, they're not. What can you do? Now, if I'm not, I want to be held accountable. I want to make sure I'm doing. But if I'm preaching the word of God and they don't listen, there's nothing more I can do. No, I don't go out and put out banners and put out stuff and come back here. What would you like us to do? This is not some customer-pleasing organization. This is a God-word-giving organization, and that's what we have to be. So he lets you know, if they don't listen and you're giving what the word says, that they showed they once again they showed their true colors. And that's why it says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And the biggest part of today is we're in the itching ears and we're in the terrible times. What do you think the mega churches are doing? And you can see that when you listen to them. And they do it well. Don't get me wrong. They do it well. Make the songs perfectly. They make the mood perfectly. They make the messages perfectly to a person who doesn't know the word. And we'll fall into that and we'll think it's so great. They'll do the crying and the whole thing to make you feel. And Satan's leading it because he disguises himself as an angel of light. And we're right there going, man, this is a blessing. Isn't this great? Is it? Is the question we have to ask. It says, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Because remember, if we are from God, remember, we're speaking of what the word says. We're preaching the word. And that's the spirit that we're supposed to test. We're supposed to check the spirit, right? To make sure, Pastor Keith, you preach. I'm always waiting, and I take it if it's given, where they'll go, that thing you just preached, I can't find that in the word. You know what I mean? I have no problem with that. Even if my feelings were hurt, forget my feelings. My feelings are not going to get me into heaven. There's a lot of people allow their feelings to steal, and they think God's going to look at you and go, oh, I'm so sorry. It doesn't work that way. We're supposed to be spiritual. And yes, the feelings will still hurt. Also, we see under this receiving and keeping of the word, keeping the word in us, right? Keeping the word in us. 1 John 2, 24 through 25. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. You'll get people that'll brag, I read the whole Bible. But then they think they're done. It becomes a bragging. It becomes a boasting of self. It's that I have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. It's just one of those things you brag on. It doesn't matter that you read it. It matters that you know it to live it. Okay? I've moved many things out my head because I have to know the word, because it's my instruction to life. Okay? If I forget, I got to get back in the word and I got to study and all this stuff, but I got to keep it so it's now becomes secondhand. It's something that is what I live. That's why he says, beginning remains in you. I know some people like to think, oh no, it's going to stay in you because you're a child and all this. And we make up stuff to make people feel better. But he's saying this to us, that it remains in you. Now that's my responsibility that I have the ability to do, but I have to do it. Now, if I get caught up in a lot of these other things and these doctrines and the forms of information, it's going to get mixed up. I'm still held accountable. Get it? I'm still held accountable. If it does, I should have highlighted that. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. Did y'all catch that? So for the people who are just reading, but they're allowing all this other stuff, and it's not remaining in you. In other words, you used to live as a Christian, but it kind of faded. Are you still a Christian? And it doesn't just say that here. Remember the whole thing about remain in me and I will remain in you? That's in Matthew, and that's in Luke and John. We see that back there where we go through the whole entire planting and seed, and we are the branches. And of the, he's saying, remain in me. He's saying the same thing here. If it does, if the word remains in me, if it does, that's how I know I am still a Christian, because my actions will still be based on what he says. It's not some feeling and some tattoo that I wore that I have to show you later. It's going to be how I live. And this is what he promises us. Look at this, eternal life. So he's talking to Christians and Christians only, who have to make a choice. You're in the word to understand it in order for it to stay in you, so that you may live it. Finally, we receive anything we ask in his will. This is one of those passages, because like I said, we love the verse that says that we believe anything that we ask for, that we will receive as long as we believe. You know, I know I mixed it up, but it's, you know what it means. And I think a lot of people can recite it even better than I just did, because they'll remember that. Because basically it's saying, as long as I believe I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. And there's a lot of heartbroken Christians that said, but why didn't it happen? I did what it said. Here's your answer. You didn't do what it said. Didn't Titus 2 says we must teach what is in accord to sound doctrine? You just read a part of the instructions, right? If I just read, take two every night, stop. Okay, medication, got it. But I didn't read further where it said, on an empty stomach, right? And I'm eating all this food and I'm taking my medicine and I'm wondering why it's not working because I didn't read all of it. That's what we do. We read the part of take two every night. That sounds good. Man, this is not working. Then you blame medicine, you blame doctor, you blame everything else. Well, no, you're just doing it wrong. Same thing when it comes to God's word. The confidence we have when he shows in 1 John 5:14-15, here's the confidence we're supposed to have. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. So this is what kind of bases all of those things. And if you ever want, we'll do the study again on prayer, praying and asking and receiving. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Did you catch that? According to his will. Part of his will is the Bible. That's his universal will for everybody. Then we have the individual will. And you remember how we know that? Remember Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, right? And especially verse 2, no longer conforming to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he says, then you will be able to approve God's will, his good and perfect will. You'll be able to do it only if you do that. And the reason why most of us don't, because we're still doing worldly things. We still have our worldly attitudes. We still respond worldly. We still have worldly goals. We still have worldly purpose. So you didn't do that part. So of course you're confused on God's will. Right? See how that works? And he says, according to his will, he hears us, which is implying if I'm not asking according to his will, does he hear me? Amen. Right? Something that simple. I'd be striving to live in his will. We're too busy striving to get what we want. We love the he hears us. We don't like the according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we want. Once again, we love that. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we want. People love that. But we didn't see the requirements according to his will. Whatever we ask of him. Okay? And this last word was the word that is the acknowledge, okay? Where you assent, where you're in agreement with, a covenant of, it's you're in complete agreement with it. But that's why I don't know why I put it way down there, but that's what that's from. So these are, I encourage you to go through it again because it makes you check yourself. It's saying, is this me? And it's not overwhelming. It's not too much. It's overwhelming if I'm trying to do it fleshly. If I want the lukewarm life, I want the best of both sides. God, I want to please my flesh and I want to serve you and go to heaven. And many think they're doing it, and many churches are teaching that, making me go, man, I'm the most sinful person, but man, because he loves me, I'm going to heaven. And you're fooling yourself. No, because he loves you, he gave you the ability so you don't have to live that way. And then your life will be a ministry to others. That's what the Bible shows. I encourage you in your groups over and over again. This should be studied, understood, and checked. Any questions?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, sis?
Okay, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I had a question, an unrelated question.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think in maybe Sunday's teaching, just one of the scriptures was Hosea 4:6, when it talked about that God will ignore our children's sin.
Yep.
Since the sins of their father. Okay, so God will ignore our children's. What was the scripture?
It's the one talking about because we reject knowledge. So I'll show you. Wait, it's Hosea. And you said 6, right?
Yeah, 4:6.
Oh, 4:6. Sorry about that. And he kind of breaks down when he says, my people are destroyed. My people. So starting in verse 6 of verse 4, he says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Now, when we stop there, we make it seem like, oh, man, they're just not teaching us. We're not getting enough. No, no, no. He's saying, because you have rejected knowledge. He says, I also will reject you as my priest. So I don't care how big of a teacher if we're not taking just him in. We're already rejected. I also reject you as my priest because you have ignored the law of your God. I also ignore your children. So now we're giving our children a hard enough time to grow in this. Does that make sense? We're putting them in a very bad situation, which we have done in many cases. Now, they still fall under the Romans 1, but we made it that much harder for them because we didn't completely give it to them. I think it fits in. Remember in 1 Corinthians 7, where it says, when people are still married, then your children are still holy, but when they're not, remember, and that's it's still fuzzy. This is part of that. There's something with how we raise our children, how it affects them. Now, they still have a chance, but we either lessen that chance by, once again, raising them wrong and how we are as a couple and so on and so forth. So in the same way, if I'm rejecting knowledge, now what does rejecting knowledge look like? I'm not in his word. I only do part of his word. I add to his word. That's a rejection of it because we're not to add to his word. We're not supposed to take away from his word, and we must stay in his word. Remember, it says that word has to remain in me, but if I'm not studying it, that's all a rejection of it. And so the biggest reason we don't get the knowledge is because of us rejecting it. If I want the knowledge, we have access to it. All of us do, especially today. And that's why it's going to be more tolerable for the olden days. But the reason why we don't know today is because we're rejecting it. We're either too busy. We don't like what we're hearing. We're reading other stuff. And that's where that comes in. And yeah, it affects our children. It affects our teachers. And especially goes for the teachers. That's why he says, I also reject you as my priests. If I'm preaching from anything else other than God's word, there's a rejection that'll happen. You can call me pastor all you want, but I'm misleading.
So wait a minute. So they're talking about children as in the church?
Church and families.
Okay.
Yeah, it's any younger ones. You're now hindering that growth. There's something you're doing that is affecting them in a bad way. And it's usually because, and I mean, we see that fleshly anyway, because we keep raising them fleshly. I mean, we can see it. We raise our kids to be worldly successful. We don't raise them to be godly.
So they're ignoring the children because of the father, what say the father, he rejected the truth and then therefore he didn't teach it to the children. So they're ignored as a in the process.
Yep. Okay. They're going to miss out on that, whatever that blessing is, that advantage, that whatever is existed. It's fuzzy to us, but the reverence would just go, oh, I don't want that to happen. The people that are still living in their intellect will go, no, I want more understanding on what that means. And then they just don't do it. And that's what we've done. We have not taken that serious. That out of reverence, we would go, wow, I better get back together and get to know his word. We go, well, it can't be that bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we start measuring the world's version of what's good and what's bad and not this. We should read these things and this should make us, okay, got it.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
That's why I have to be careful. The history thing is a great thing because you have a lot of teachers that are telling people the way to really understand the Bible. I've heard three things of teaching and understanding the Bible. They tell you to know the times. Here's the problem. And I had one excellent example. There was a person I was talking to. I told them the history of a time just to give them a foundation of it, and it made them feel better on what that scripture was saying. But then I came back to them and said, but what if I just told you? I have no idea about the time. That's what God says. They knew I would struggle with that. So what we're really saying to God is, make it right by me, and then I'll follow. Did y'all catch that? Because there's a lot of stuff in the Bible. I don't care how much history I study. I'm not going to get an understanding or foundation of why they did that. And if I allow the history to play a big enough part, I will misuse. We see that with hair, and we see that with women ministers. We take in history to disregard those. So please be careful. What we want to start doing, and this is why I would say put the history aside for a while until you go in here, read the instruction, and go, got it. When you could do that, you're walking in reverence, and that's what you want to. When you go there and you want somebody to convince you, your walk is very shaky, and you don't want that, okay? And just because you feel it, that doesn't mean it's if you're going by that feeling, okay? Because a lot of stuff I read, and my flesh goes, oh, why would God do that? The spirit goes, got it. Absolutely. See the difference? And that's what I'm saying. And if I stay in the spirit, I'm good. I let the flesh come into play. Well, give me some more to prove and let me, then maybe I'll do it. That's not faith. Other questions? Right? Good. Y'all were blessed by this study. Please study it and check me. Make sure it's in line with everything that the word is saying, sound doctrine. But also for you to check you daily. Make this something that you're really getting, that you have down to where you can check every aspect of your life and goes, yep, this is in line with his word, and not just you saying, I'm a Christian, I'm in line with his word. It doesn't work that way. So praise God that he provides us with all that we need. All right, we will go ahead and pray out. And as God allows, we will have something new next week. Everybody be careful with this weather. We're hearing mixed. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but people are going to be affected by weather somewhere in the United States. So keep them in prayer. Look out for your neighbors. See what you can do for others, especially people who are elderly and maybe not have as much. Check on things that you may need. Look at that stuff now. And that's just being wise. Now, I'm not saying go hoard and get, I don't know why French toast is a thing, but, you know, don't buy all the bread and eggs, but just be wise in this, okay? Wisdom is one thing. Fear is another. Don't mix the two up. All right. We're going to go ahead and pray out. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Thank you once again, dear Lord, that all that you do, and we just continually ask you for your guidance and your wisdom. Help us, dear God, to walk in the way that we're ministering, that we're looking out for one another. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for providing your word and your spirit, and help us to be reverent in all that we do, that we don't get misled by our feelings and by the things going on around us. We ask you to continually show us, and we thank you for your discipline. We thank you for all that happens in our life, because we know it all works for our good, even though it doesn't always feel that way. We're going to continue to live praising you with our lives. We ask for all of these things in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen. Before everybody jumps off, real quick, Sister Darlene, I don't know, you know, Ray sent something out and some, and the men got it too. I don't know if everybody got this. There's another ministry out there that's really helping people. If you have any old coats and stuff like that, is that something still going on? Sis,
that was with hands and feet.
Yep, hands and feet. And is it something that is still in need?
I can find out for sure about the coats and stuff. I
okay.
know, like even with blankets.
Yes.
So if there is blankets that anyone wants to donate, I know we dropped off some coats.
Yeah.
Maybe even hats and gloves and scarves.
So stuff you have laying around that could be very helpful in this cold weather. The next 2 weeks, I think, are going to be very cold.
Bad.
And yeah, it's going to be bad. Not just the bad weather, but the freezing and all that. So if you can help out, reach out to Ray and Dar on that, and or any one of us, and we'll see how we can kind of spread that out and see what we can do. And we'll reach out to the organization to find out how we can donate. Amen?
Amen. Is that just in Harrisburg?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That's here. Yeah, sorry for that part.
Right. I'm sure other organizations have this, so you might want to look around in your neighborhoods that are outside of it. But I think that's a big way to help as well, because their focus is those groups of people. They know where they're at. So if you can find those and you have extra things, by all means, give it to them, especially before this weekend.
Okay.
All right. Love you all. Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Night.